This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talk more about the Packers, the draft, Aaron Rodgers, all that kind of good stuff. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. So the one thing that I got out of the Gutekunst presser was there's still a lot of mention of Ted Thompson. How confident are you that Ted doesn't have his arms wrapped around this thing?
I think there's a reason he's involved. I think it's more about there's an interest level in what Ted Thompson's involvement is, and I think that's more of why part of that drove the line of questioning was more just like there's a curiosity level. I mean, Ted Thompson didn't even talk to the media during his retirement, or well, not retirement, but his step away from being a GM into his secondary role. So I think that's, sort of a peak of interest or a point of interest for a lot of people is what is Ted Thompson doing in this process? Now, I think we can comfortably gather he's not going to be one of the five people on the phones, working the phones on draft night for trades that Brian Gutekunst had alluded to, that, he's got five people working the phones. Well, I think we can comfortably assume Ted Thompson's not one of those guys. So, he didn't do it when he's a GM. He's not going to do it now. That's what, Elliot Wolf and Alonzo Highsmith and Brian Gutekunst were for. So now we'll kind of see the John Eric Sullivan, the other guys kind of in those feature roles. And, Ted Thompson is, for all of the things he was great at and all the things he wasn't so great at, he's a pretty darn good scout. And at the very least, a veteran voice that I think Brian Gutekunst is, wise to at least inform. Now, Ted Thompson's no longer the one with his proverbial name on the signature line of each draft pick. Now that belongs to Gutekunst, and ultimately it's going to be the success or failure of how he's viewed, right? That's the power of being GM. You get the good, you get the bad, you get the credit, you get the blame. So, I think it's one piece of it, and I'm sure you're going to get to it too, but I took two other important things away from it, Bill, from the press conference today. One is sort of the admission that best player available isn't necessarily the route he plans to go.
Mm-hmm.
That if all things are equal, need plays a role. And that's kind of what you and I have talked about in recent weeks is, just the idea that the Packers have really, if they don't take an edge rusher or a corner, if they don't take an edge rusher or a guy in the secondary, maybe it's a safety who's kind of a hybrid guy, if they can somehow luck into Derwin James or, even Denzel Ward, who can profile as a safety in certain systems. These kind of things could happen. But then also, I guess we could maybe hit on that. I don't want to meander on for too long, but that was, I guess, some of my key takeaways right off the bat.
What else, when you talk about Gutekunst and his, I don't want to say philosophy, but maybe what he's taken away, I like the fact that he did talk about going all the way back to Ron Wolf and kind of that stylistic approach as to when you talk about the draft and moving forward, not only the draft, but the supplementation of other pieces on your team and what you may need. It sounds like he's really drawing from a lot of past experience. And I don't know, we've seen him go out and get a couple of free agents, Wilkerson and obviously Jimmy Graham. We also have seen him let go of a couple of guys that you might not thought that he might let go of. So how much do you think he's taken a page out of the Ron Wolf playbook by saying it's first of all, go out and supplement guys, and secondly, it's better to get rid of a guy a year too early than a year too late?
Yeah, and that last thing you just said, I think, is the most key piece of it all, and that is, that is the Ron Wolf philosophy. That is the idea that, you have to project and you have to try to use the data that you have available to say that if you were to strip away the name Jordy Nelson, which is, he's a beloved figure. He was a great Packer. He's one of Aaron Rodgers' best friends, favorite targets. It's been a long time, really, probably since Donald Driver kind of not being brought back for one additional year, that fans have taken a guy leaving the team so hard because, people love Jordy Nelson. What Gutekunst has to do is he has to remove that emotional aspect of it. He has to remove the idea of, it was only 7 years ago that Jordy Nelson had his breakout game in all games in the Super Bowl, and you have to kind of say, okay, you know, past performance is great, but what do I think I'm going to get going forward? And, you know, when you do essentially trade a 30, you know, an early 30s wide receiver for an early 30s tight end, meaning from Nelson to Jimmy Graham, it's not like you got younger, you know, from going from Nelson to Graham. It's just kind of a piece of which guy do I think going forward, and especially in 2018, can give me the best production for that money. And that money is, you know, somewhere in the ballpark of $10 million. Now, obviously, you look at another guy who came up in the Green Bay system, and Reggie McKenzie. He saw Jordy Nelson hit the open market, surprisingly, or surprisingly to some, and snatched him right up for a contract that was more than what Nelson would have gotten in Green Bay. So, you know, differing opinions, differing philosophies, et cetera. But, no, I think for Gutekunst to have kind of been tough, I mean that in a good way, like to have for him to have removed any, you know, emotional aspects of the decision-making and not sort of letting himself be concerned about maybe being a temporary enemy of a fan base. Like, oh my gosh, you can't get rid of Jordan Nelson. Like, I think those are encouraging early steps for him. And Bill, if I could, one other quick piece that I just recalled from this morning was the idea that I liked this quote. It's harder to find talented big guys than talented smaller guys. Meaning, if pressed between an equally valued edge rusher or an equally valued corner, I think that quote can lead you to believe he's going to go edge defender. A bigger guy. It's harder to find talented big guys than talented smaller guys. So just kind of a tangent to your question, but something I didn't want to forget to mention.
Yeah, because there's a lot of questions as to which direction he's going to go. I mean, when you start to look at some of the players that may or may not be there, Marcus Davenport's a guy that's been talked about by many at defensive end. Do you go in that direction, or do you go with that outside linebacker? When you try to find a guy that's going to create a genuine pass rush, like you said, it's hard to find the talented big guys, the guys with quick feet, low center of gravity, good arm extension, being able to kind of push players around. He left a lot on the table as to what to expect from him. When he was asked, I think it was Mark Daniels, if I recognize the voice, that asked him about the number of picks that he has and, you know, the thought process as far as trading and moving up. And he really kind of played coy. He didn't really say one way or the other than the evaluation of talent. But I got to think, at least I think a lot of Packers fans hope, that there's going to be a deal or two to jump up and get a guy that's definitely going to benefit this team.
Yeah, I think we have seen enough. I mean, you referenced in the last 10 minutes already, you referenced Jimmy Graham and getting rid of Jordy Nelson and adding Mo Wilkerson. I mean, Bill, when you and I first broached the idea, like, well, Mohamed Wilkerson's a free agent. Like, maybe the Packers do that. We didn't even know yet. We had no previous history to draw on. And so we had almost become accustomed to half joking about the idea of the Packers adding a key free agent, like, you know, Wilkerson kind of popping up. And we kind of started putting pieces together and saying, well, Mike Pettine used to be his D coordinator. Maybe something makes sense here. I say all of this because I think what we've seen in the first, 3.5 months of the official tenure of Brian Gutekunst is he is aggressive. And he will do things that, some people will disagree with. He'll do things that are a bit risky. I think, trading Jimmy Graham for Jordy Nelson is a risk. Adding Mo Wilkerson, who got his big contract and then kind of disappeared, is a risk. Trading Demaryius Randall at a position of weakness for a backup quarterback, that's a risk. You know, the only two corners you had this offseason, Devon House and Tremont Williams, you know, are certainly, especially in Tremont Williams' case, past the prime of their careers. And Devon House going into his, eighth year this season, you know, you didn't exactly go out and make your cornerback room better. You know, you might have even taken a small step back so far. So he's taken risks. And I think all of that is to say, I don't know if I know what any of us know what to expect come Thursday night, come Friday afternoon and Friday night in the first three rounds of the draft. But I don't think there'd be anything from an aggressive perspective that Gutekunst could do that would surprise me. And if anything, I'm starting to lean towards the idea that he's going to swing big and he's going to trade up 4, 5, 6 picks to get the guy he wants. And I think, again, we won't know for years after that would happen how it really have turned out and should he have done that or should he not have done that. But I'm sure that would get early returns in terms of praise from Packers fans. Like, here we go, you know, a more aggressive GM. And I think so far he started to paint a picture of himself that he's willing to do those kind of things.
Talking with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, before I let you go, announced over the weekend, Aaron Rodgers on Friday, that he is a minority investor now in the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, you know, some are reading into this as, well, he's got a deal done. I'm not necessarily saying that, but look, I think Aaron Rodgers is a sports fan. He enjoys the Milwaukee Bucks, probably had a little money that he can invest in it, going to get some of that money back or put it up in some kind of a tax shelter. But nevertheless, It just further entrenches the fact that Aaron Rodgers wants to stay, is going to stay, and will stay in Green Bay.
For sure. And Bill, I remember there were whispers of this four years ago, probably right around the time, I haven't connected the dots, but right around the time of new ownership coming in for the Bucks. And I remember asking Rodgers about it, and, you know, he kind of gave like an answer that made you think if it was happening, it would be a while. So to be honest, it had kind of slipped off the top of my mind in terms of, is this something that Rodgers was ever going to do? And now here it is, you know, boom, surprise. He shows up on game three of the NBA playoffs and says, you know, I'm a new minority owner of the team, which, so you know, Rodgers has fully invested himself in Wisconsin culture and becoming a huge Badgers fan and taking guys like Sam Decker and many others of the former Badger basketball teams under his wing, going to a ton of Bucks games, being involved in those kind of ways. So again, I don't think with or without, you know, ownership in the Bucks, with or without that, I don't think there was any reason to think that at least in the next 4 years, at minimum, that Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to be a Packer. But I think this more ties himself to Wisconsin, to the sports teams in the city. And obviously it would kind of help maybe, you know, you can never, most guys can't choose how they leave the NFL, right? Most, almost 99%
right,
go out because the league essentially forces them out, or their current team, you know, forces them out and everything. But in this case, I think it's further affirmation, or if anything else, that this, you know, he wants to be here. There shouldn't, the contract stuff will get worked out. There's 2 years left on his contract. It seems like it should get done. It doesn't make sense why it's not done, but I think it's, if anything, it's a small added dose of Aaron Rodgers kind of is Wisconsin at this point, and he will probably leave the Packers on the day he's forced out, and probably not before, unless things get real contentious, which, again, I can't imagine happening.
No, I don't think so either. Paul, good stuff. We'll chat again midweek, okay?
Thanks, Bill.
All right, pal. Yeah. Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.